Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. Now, studies have proven that companies with greater diversity in their leadership team and on their boards do better. Malaysia has made it mandatory for all public listed companies on Bursa Malaysia to have at least one woman director by January of next year, and this with the goal of achieving at least 30% gender balance at all senior decision-making tables across Malaysia, including boards and C-suites. However, as of January 2022, only 180 out of the 944 public listed companies in Malaysia have at least 30% women representation on their boards. Despite tireless efforts, women continue to be vastly underrepresented at most boards in Malaysia, and that they remain male-dominated. So what is needed to better support women so that we can translate our professional skills and experiences into leadership and board-level roles? I'm delighted to introduce my guest today to discuss this further. We have Christina Fu. She is an independent director and fellow with the Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia. Christina has been in public practice for over 40 years in accounting, tax, strategic and business advisory services and has served on public interest entity boards in Malaysia and internationally. Christina, welcome to the show. What a pleasure it is to have you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Melissa. It is a pleasure and an honor to be invited to your show.
Wonderful. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us. I was wondering about whether we could begin our conversation today, Christina, by perhaps talking about your personal journey. I mean, you started out in accounting and now you're on several boards, including UEM Sunrise and the Malaysian Technology Development Corporation. Can you walk us through some of the milestones in that journey to the board level roles? I'm just wondering, as a woman, whether that was a difficult path to carve.
Well, thank you. Looking back, I think my corporate directorship journey started in 2007. It seems like a long time ago. And how it all started was with CPA Australia. I was then the CPA Australia Malaysia Division President, and there was a corporate there was a governance review being carried out in CPA Australia Limited, which is the umbrella body, you know, for membership throughout the world. And so I was invited to be on the board of CPA Australia Limited, and being one of 12 from around the world, it was really an honor. And from there on, you know, I must confess that at that point, you know, it was quite daunting. But then again, you know, it was all about going out there and doing my best and representing members' interest. So with that sort of, powering me on, it was a great experience. I actually stayed on for 3 terms, for 7 years. And then from there, a few other board roles opened up. And because I was the vice president of the Malaysian Institute of Accountants as well, around that time, I had the opportunity to represent the Malaysian Institute of Accountants as a board director on KAPA. KAPA is the Confederation of Asian and Pacific Accountants. So that, you know, that was also, you know, again, I think at that point in time, that phase of my life, I was all about contribution and very specifically to my professional body and to my profession. And so for me, it was not difficult, but you know, once you understand the issues and once you understand the role and responsibility, then everything just kind of falls into place. And then more directorship follows, you know?
Well, that's definitely the case, isn't it? It's always that first step. And I love the word that you use. It was daunting the very first time. It's really about opening that first door and giving, you know, women a chance, and then more directorship opportunities may emerge from that. Can I ask you then, at what point, Christina, did you realize that, you know, your experience of it being a daunting first step, that you wanted to make sure that, you know, you helped empower other women to take that first step to join corporate boards as well?
I offer myself as a fellow of the Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia, you know, to screen hopefuls, the aspiring corporate directors, men and women, it is at that kind of level. That's one channel for me to share, you know, my experience from and advise them and help guide them, give them ideas, suggestions as to how they can better prepare themselves for it, and so that is still something that's ongoing. As long as my services are still required, I'm more than happy to share. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, that's heartening. You know, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot, that even today in 2020, even with all the rules and the regulations and studies that have proven that diversity is a positive thing for many organizations, do you still get asked why diversity, why equality, why equity and inclusion, why all of those initiatives are important? Or is it a given? Have organizations internalized the desperate need to have diversity on board?
I think, well, at least the organizations I'm associated with are very supportive of DE&I, and I'm very proud that they are. And I suppose each one of us do have a role to play too. If they're not familiar or they're like unsure what it all means, it is also for us to share and sort of, you know, explain what it is. And like any management, I mean, once they can see and be persuaded of the benefits of having practice or embrace, it's diversity, equity and inclusion. I mean, it is a no-brainer. You know, one of my favorite is to relate it to the market that you're targeting. If you're in business, it makes sense that you should be having decision makers in your company who understands the target market that you are, you know, you have in mind or in sight. So it makes sense then that you should have that reflected in the decision makers. And so you should select people who are able to contribute to that understanding, that can give you insight as to what the target market is looking for.
But I would say that, you know, all companies would want their target market to be as big as possible, and that would include half of the population who are women. So that would, you know, that would solidify the argument that you need women on your boards for at least that perspective, right?
Yes. I mean, gender diversity is the first thing that a lot of people think about when we talk about diversity. But in truth, of course, diversity is a whole spectrum, everything from race, ethnicity to age, and skills and knowledge. Right. So women, gender diversity is often the one that comes to mind first. And then in a lot of boards where they have been more influenced by the traditional style of managing, it might be a bit difficult for them to say, oh, we want to have a woman on board alongside with us making decisions. But if they can see, you know, that you know, a woman with her intrinsic by her intrinsic nature, by her natural, you know, inclinations and ways, and is able to bring value in the way management conducts the business.
Yeah, it adds value to that. I really like that you pointed to the difference between diversity and, you know, the different types of diversity and real authentic inclusion. I heard someone describe once that diversity is being invited to the party, but inclusion is being asked to dance. And I quite like that that saying. I do want to ask you how then, you know, when we think about more than just box ticking of diversity, of DEI initiatives, as someone on a board and who's very passionate about seeing true inclusion and diversity, how do you make sure that it goes beyond just recruitment and representation, but that it's there's a qualitative dimension to your to true inclusion?
I think, you know, the person that the in a case of a board, normally the nominations and remuneration committee would be tasked with helping to make that short list, and it's very important too at that point that the skill sets are identified, and that's that gap that we do not have that we want to fill on the board is made known. And then when we go out there and interview these potential candidates, we not just look for another female, you know, but we're looking for individuals who have really something to offer and can be respected and are not afraid to speak their minds. But having said that too, I mean, like in some of my sharing and mentoring sessions with the people I work with, it's very important I tell them to know your place. Right, and it doesn't mean that know your place means you just sit there and keep quiet, but to actually, you know, conduct yourself in a manner that says who you are, and have people sit up and say, hang on, she really knows what she's talking about, or she knows what she's asking about. So it's about showing who you are, presenting yourself, and if you don't know something, not be afraid to say you don't know or you don't understand, but the fact is to speak up and be respected.
Right. Wonderful Christina, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this conversation. Still lots to cover on this topic. We'll be right back on The Futures Female. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Futures Female. I'm chatting to Christina Fu today. She's an independent director and fellow with the Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia. We're discussing the need to increase women representation in senior leadership and on the boards of Corporate Malaysia. Christina, just before the break, you talked about the need to speak up, to make sure that we have a voice when we get a seat at that table. I do wonder, and this may be a gross overgeneralization, but you know, I'm wondering whether you've heard this in some of your mentoring and your sharing sessions, whether imposter syndrome, women who think that perhaps they don't deserve a seat at the table, whether that keeps more women from putting their hand up to say, well, I think I, you know, will be a good candidate for a corporate directorship.
You know, if you have, you know, if you aspire to be a board director, you must know what it comes with. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to go out there and sit on a board and pass your business card around and tell people, I'm on the board of this PLC. If that's what you want, if that's just what you want, then maybe, you know, there are more glamorous jobs out there. it is really a big responsibility. And I say this because for me personally, I know I was very selective for the longest time. And eventually I did accept a PLC role when I felt, okay, you know, I've done my duty and I think I'm ready to accept this one. So in terms of speaking up, you know, it doesn't mean you just have to ask questions. It's about asking, you know, some well thought out, you know, questions. It's preparing yourself. Mm-hmm. It's going through the board papers. And then, you know, if you need to verify or counter check some of this information first before you get into the meeting room, you know. So it may be a little bit difficult at first, you know, and sometimes I think a lot of women actually feel like, oh, I'm not sure if I would look silly if I ask this question, you know. But you know what? We won't know what you think, you know, is silly until it's being asked. And sometimes what might seem like the simplest question or a silly question actually makes a lot of sense, because what happens is if you're new to a board and the rest are already there for like years, they've just gone to accept everything that's put before them and they think they know what's going on. And so when you come in as a new board member and then you ask simple question, how did we decide that, or how did that come about, you know, it is a very sensible question to ask. So
I hear you completely, Christina. As a journalist, I know there's no such thing as a stupid or silly question. There's no such thing as a simple question. Often the simpler the question, the better, because you're actually getting to basics. So I hear you completely on that front. And I do like that you're, you know, that there is, I guess, a platform to help support women, particularly like ICDM, to help support women, men and women, to take on this immensely important responsibility. It's an issue of governance and accountability. So can you tell us a little bit about how ICDM helps make a more effective director?
ICDM, I mean, once an aspiring corporate director, you know, signs up, ICDM has a series of programs that they could go through, and this is something I've been, you know, I think, I mean, in when I first joined, you know, in the corporate scene, so to speak, I mean, there wasn't anything like this available. So I'm really thankful that this is now available, and really, you know, aspiring corporate directors should really make the most of it, leverage off this resource and the number of people there who can help you, you know, grow, discover yourself, and then also, you know, upskill yourself. If they're like in the interviews that we conduct, the screening that we conduct, we learn more about the individual, and then we very candid about how we think that person can improve, that his or her chances of being selected. You know, it can be something like the way one speak, how you carry yourself, how confident or the lack of it, you know. It could be something like that, or, you know, maybe just the understanding of it, the responsibilities, for instance, of the duties. Maybe someone may not fully appreciate it. So there are courses that ICDM, you know, has drawn up for aspiring candidate to go through. It take about a year plus some mentoring. And I think the wonderful thing, and this is something I always, when I talk to students as well as to, you know, friends and aspiring professionals, I think one important thing you must make the most of is networking. And I think ICDM provides that in a really invaluable networking opportunities. And you get to meet experienced directors who are able to share and who are most willing to share. I think that's something that money cannot buy. And you know, one should make the most of it.
Well, that sounds great, because again, there are resources to help, particularly women in that pipeline, right, to ensure there's some kind of progression of talent to reach that board level role. I do want to ask you then, given all the positive progress that we've seen in this respect, why is it that still so few public listed companies have 30% women on their boards? What do you think might need to shift? It seems like the ecosystem is there, but yet we're still not making any significant progress. What do you think it is, Christina?
I think, and this is purely my personal opinion, from what I've seen, there are boards which are very much shareholder controlled, and you know, and in that, you know, especially those which are family controlled. They may want control kept in a certain, in certain confines, and they may have a very traditional outlook about where a woman's place is. There are some, but that is also slowly changing. As you know, I have seen in a number of these boards where they have a younger generation who are professionals, who are women, and they are also meeting them onto the board, but family members nonetheless. You know, as for the other boards, the other public listed boards, it's about the mindset. It's the all boys, you know, network thing. Mm. And they think that, oh my God, with a woman, you know, in there in the boardroom with them, you know, is it going to be difficult making decisions? She may not understand. So I think some of them are, can I say, dragging their feet a little bit, you know, finding the right time or when they are, you know, have to, then they will do the needful. And they will just tick the box, and I my advice to all, especially ladies who are being invited to come on board those organizations, do your own duty as well. Don't be that, you know, person that is there just for them to tick a box.
Right.
Be there as a real contributor of value to the board and their business. And I think, you know, anybody would want that, right? You don't want to be seen to be just, you know, complying and just be ticking a box.
Yes, nobody wants to be, you know, just the token woman at the table just to fill up a quota. I completely hear you. And I'm glad that you said that, because, again, I'm glad to also hear this progress. But what would you say then to the men? I mean, we think about allyship, right? Allies of diversity and inclusion. What role do men, particularly corporate leaders, male corporate leaders, play in making that difference? Because again, you know, the all boys club is not going to dismantle itself. You'll need the help of men to make sure that there are more women included.
It's very important that the acceptance of the benefit of having gender diversity on boards is actually accepted by members of the board, you know, and particularly the chairman of boards and the chairman of nominations and remunerations committee. These are the two key roles, and maybe also somebody like the senior independent director. They are the ones who can influence the rest of the board. So very important that a lot more advocacy can be done, be carried out, and a lot of awareness be created. You know, it is a constant, but I think it's moving. And I say this because why? Like in the organizations I'm involved with, I see a lot of women on the management level and at the staff level. And I'm happy to see that there's a growing number, in fact, of organizations which actually have a majority of management staff who are female. So in time to come, by right, they should progress, right? They should progress. Inevitably, somehow, it seems that when the CEO position is being sought for, you know, it's very seldom a woman steps up to it. For numerous reasons, mm-hmm. but what I'm optimistic about is that there's a growing number of senior management level people, professionals who are female, right. And one day when they are ready to take on corporate directorships, they will be there, and you cannot. Especially when you have ICGM available to help you find the female recruits on the recruits on your board, you have no these boards now have no do not have an excuse to say do not know where to go, you know, because ICGM has a register. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
No excuse for non-representation and not having gender equality on your boards. Absolutely well said. Thank you, Christina, for joining me on the show today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. The time has flown by, and I'm sure we could continue talking more about this in other episodes. So I want to thank you for joining me on the show. Christina Fu, Independent Director and Fellow with the Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia. I'm Melissa Idris, and I will be back with you same time next week for another episode of The Future's Female. Take care. Till then.